proud to have switched from liberal to conservative over the years.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk.
99.1 and 92.3.
How you doing, Steve Areno?
Hey, John.
Hey.
Good morning.
Aren't you glad we aren't doing this interview in the lobby of the car rental place?
No, I'm so glad we're right here now, right here.
Steve had a kick listening to my story, looking at my watch, waiting to return a vehicle in this car rental lobby here in Reno. And short-staffed, works. We are, I guess, supposed to accept that excuse, right?
They've got us over a barrel. There's only so many places to rent a car from.
I'm John Potter. This is Live and Local, 884-9910. We're talking plumbing issues for this segment. But, Steve,
yes.
The guy at the counter is on the phone for 20 minutes talking to, I don't mean to pick on age, it sounded like somebody, I think it was Joe Biden they were on the phone with.
Somebody
out there who had a vehicle and wanted a slightly bigger one, and this guy at the counter spends 20 minutes. And so you and I, during that news, we were lamenting the loss of customer service.
Yes, customer service. Oh, my gosh. Try to find it. And when you do find it, hold on tight, because it's a glorious thing to have.
I mean, when I was brought up, it was the ultimate thing to do on your job.
Isn't that the way you
do
business?
Where did you start? Where did you learn?
I learned it from Safeway. I worked for Safeway for a couple of decades, and that's the number one. You walk in, I mean, so what? It's nickels and dimes. If you don't like the people that are serving you, you go somewhere else.
Right.
It becomes a personal thing.
Don't they know this? That
Safeway knows it.
That the customer will go somewhere else.
Yeah.
To where, when I see places go out of business, a lot of them I'm not surprised, because they are known for not having the ultimate in customer service.
And that's what I believe in so strongly with my company. If my customers aren't happy with my service, I'm not happy. That's everything, because they'll come back. Mm-hmm. You know, I could replace a water heater, and that's going to last you hopefully 15 to 20 years if I do it right. And there's other stuff they need for their plumbing. They're going to call me because I gave them that great service from the get.
I would think as a plumber that you'd have more than enough to do without basing your business on water heaters. I would think water heaters is probably, 10% of a plumber's business. You are all, why do you lean so heavy on servicing water heaters?
Well, it's kind of the heart of what's going on with your water systems. Every house is different. Each house has its own system in a way, whether it's new, old, or it's
because they change them.
Yeah, and you go in, and the way I plumb is I go in and I assess the whole situation for each house. Just recently, I went into a brand new house down in South Reno, and toilets were put together loosely. They were leaking. This is a home that was less than 3 years old. I replaced a couple of items in that house. But that's part of the thing these days. You go in and they don't have to put in the number one top of the line product in a new home. Mm-hmm. And people put up with that. They're just glad to get a house or whatever. The location, location, location. So here I am to upgrade or to better what they've already got.
Is that, I got to stop you and ask you, is that the term for what you do? You plumb? Is that a verb?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I never knew that.
I plumb.
How much did you plumb today, dear? And you mentioned, you kind of got my attention there, but we will not pursue this about the terrible toilet situation in Southwest.
No.
But there, so many things can go wrong.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I say each house is different. And I look at it separately. The water softeners and such, they don't come in your home standard.
What?
Water filtration systems don't come standard in your home.
Oh, water filtration.
Yeah, filtration and softeners. You know, you get what you get when you buy your home.
Do you deal with those?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm so glad you're here. I see so many different types of water softeners and water filters. First off, what's the difference? Water filter, water softener?
Well, that's a really good question, John.
Because I used to have this thing in Las Vegas where you had to go buy a 20-pound bag of salt pellets And they, every month?
And that's exactly what we still do it in a lot of ways.
It's a big tank, and you fill
it
with
salt.
Yes,
yes, and you maintain that. You maintain, that's a softener. And
that's still how they do it, huh?
Yeah, that's still how they do it, and it's very efficient. And the idea, as a plumber, the idea to me is to make sure that your fixtures and your water system is free of sediments. The water filtration systems I put in go down to a 20 micron, and that really takes out a lot of the sediments that destroy your water heaters. That's what kills a water heater, all the different sediments that go into it, and we have a lot in this area.
Yeah, we do.
A lot of minerals. Actually, minerals.
I noticed that myself. The water filters, the big ones, I mean, I'm totally oblivious to what those are. The closest I get to that are the Brita pitchers.
Yep.
Do they work under the same principle?
Yes, they do. And the idea I have is to have your entire house filtered like that, soft water in a shower. Oh, it's so much different than standard water. I mean, they only have a certain standard of pH that comes into your home. By federal law, they only have to do it to a certain point. Well, I can come in and upgrade that properly.
What are the best brands?
I love Watts. There's a
Watts.
Watts. They make a great filtration system. It's simple to put in. It's simple to run. You change the filters once a year, and it's Bob's your uncle. It's easy.
Do you need somebody to change the filters? You can't go to Home Depot.
I could teach you how to get them and how to change them out. It's real simple.
See, this way you wouldn't have folks. You wouldn't have to buy those cases of bottled water.
Correct.
Your bottled water companies pretty much do the same thing, don't they?
Yeah, and it's to tell you the truth, it's really hard to get your tap water as good as the pH level for bottled water.
It's possible.
It is possible, but it's hard. It really is. I can bring it down to 20 microns.
Well, I don't know. I've seen some studies with some brands of bottled water, and some of them are taken just straight from city water systems.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to know what you're buying.
Yeah, and I have the test equipment for it so that we can figure out what's really going on. And like I was saying, putting a soft water system in, a softener in, mm-hmm. It makes such a difference in your shower. And it's so much easier on your fixtures. You don't get all that white crud you see on them all the time.
Stuff in your hair.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. And then you see the residue at the bottom of the tub and around the drain and everything.
Yep, and that's hard calcium that can be real tough to get out.
I mean, there's two major things that are very important in our life. One is sleep, so I don't chintz out on the mattress. And the second is water. I mean,
food and water, yeah.
The human being can survive, 4 days without food, but nowhere more than a day without water.
Not in this area, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay. So what else is new, my friend?
Well, I like to do estimates, consultations on your home. You know, as far as from beginning to end, as the water comes in the house, you have a way to, we're talking about filtering and softening the water, but you have to have the right water pressures brought in, and some homes don't even have a pressure reducing valve or regulating valve.
And gosh, now you got me wondering if I have that.
Yeah,
some homes don't have pressure regulating valve.
Correct.
Why is that so important?
It helps to maintain the right PSI, power
pressure.
Yeah, pressure, and that's great for your showers as well as your appliances. You got to make sure that your dishwasher has the right amount of PSI going into it. They also have pressure regulators built into the newer dishwashers now, so it doesn't overload the system or break anything.
I'm not too educated on these things. I thought the pressure thing was totally out of our control. I thought we just
absolutely not.
City gives us the pressure and we live with it.
Yeah. Yeah, don't depend on the city to get your water to you. All that. I mean, they got for Tumwa, yeah. No doubt. They do a great job.
So I had a question for Steve. Steve, so what do you do for the case where, like, you're in the shower and somebody in the other bathroom flushes, and all of a sudden you're either getting scalded or frozen? How do you compensate for that?
Yeah, that's just a shower valve.
What can be done, Steve?
Yeah, we need to check out your shower valve, make sure it's working properly. It shouldn't ever do that. They have safety measures for that. That's old school. That's the way it used to be back in the day. And now, if that's going to happen, you've got something going on with your shower valve.
That's not right.
Nope. That's very dangerous, as a matter of fact. It's, you know,
What do you think about the ones that regulate temperature, that you have the little dial in and everybody can have their own set temperature for their shower? What do you think about those?
Awesome. Nothing like technology. Let's bring it on. Let's try different
stuff.
They
probably have water heaters where you can do it on your phone, don't they?
Yes, they do. Absolutely. Wow. You know,
at my house, it's you touch that thing and you're dead. She will not let me adjust. Even during the summer, Steve, it's hot.
Happy wife, happy
life, John.
She wants
it all the way up, and she screams if it's under 125. Oh, my pain.
And that's the other thing, by the way, you mentioned temperatures. I always make sure that the temperature going into your kitchen faucet, your shower, let's keep that temperature at a safe height. Some people just can't take that. I do believe 129 degrees is the max, and that's boiling for the human body to be in.
Yeah.
But you can have that legally in your home, 127, 129 degrees.
Yeah, for now. Yeah. I mean, boy, they're clamping down on gas heaters in New York State and everything.
Oh, don't go there with me.
This green thing. And picks it up, then that means we get next. But I'm not going to get into that.
No, natural gas. Yummy. Yeah, love it.
All right, let's take a break. Folks, do you have a plumbing issue or question? Water heaters especially. But anything having to do with plumbing in your home. And we're going to find out more from Steve about this visit he makes to your home to check everything out. And if it costs anything, I can tell you, I've known Steve for a while. He's a very honest man, good man. So he can give you the greatest advice for your home. 884-9910. The advice is free right here and now. I'm John Potter, taking a break.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
Live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. I'm John Potter, your happy host. Our phone lines are 884-9910. Our guest right now for one more segment, Steve, from Steve's Water Heater Installation and Plumbing.
Steve's Water Heater Installation.
Okay. He's working on his jingle for the commercial.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Kurt is calling from Reno. Question for our plumbing expert, Steve. Go ahead, Kurt. I'm glad you called.
Hey, good morning. Thank you. I have a few questions. I have a natural gas hot water heater, and John had mentioned that you need to be draining these things. Haven't done that, so I'm wondering how long or how often I should do that. Then I know there's a rod in these tanks that attracts the minerals. How often do those need to be replaced?
Anode rods, it depends on the quality of the water you have. An anode rod, I've seen them last 10 years or so, but it's good to check them every 3-4 years just to be sure. 3 years if you got really bad water. Draining them out in the spring, I like to do it in the springtime. Just drain the whole water with a natural gas. Turn off your ball valve, your supply line to it. Drain her out. Check that first couple of minutes of it. Get that sediment out of it. That sediment's what kills the water heater.
And does the water just refresh itself? The water just replaces itself after you do this, Steve?
Yes, absolutely. Then you turn the water back on. You want to drain it out. It's actually a lot of the newer, it's a good water heater, it's the kind I install. They actually rotate the water inside so that it's constantly moving that sediment, because you're going to get sediment in a water heater. That's just what that anode rod is for. It's to take on that sediment. So it attacks the anode rod instead of the wall of the water heater itself. And that way they last longer, much longer.
All right. I did this once. It is very easy, Kurt. All you have to do is you cut off the water supply going into the water heater and then open that little hose
at the bottom of the water
valve
heater.
At the bottom.
Not the top one.
It goes into a big pail. Let that sediment water go into a big pail. And does it stop by itself?
I like hooking garden hoses up to it and run it all out. Take it out to the driveway and just run it on out. And that gives you a chance. Using a bucket's a good idea, too. That way you get to see the quality of the water you have in there. After 3 years or so of a brand new water heater, I like doing it. It gives you an idea. And then after that, every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Kurt. Thanks for the call. And I tell you what, I was surprised to find out that you have to do this with the instant water heaters.
Well, absolutely.
I never knew this.
I was going to say.
All right, let's go to Forrest, calling from Lahontan. Question for Steve. Forrest, good morning. I'm glad you called. Go ahead.
Good morning, and I appreciate the tip on the water heater. I have a well, and I've got a big tank, a 1,600-gallon tank, I'm filtering it, but I want to put something else in there, some kind of chemical. Or are these pellets you're talking about pretty effective?
Ooh, good question. Is this well water you're talking about?
Yeah.
I suggest you speak to a well guy. I'm a residential water heater guy, and I do a lot of residential water lines. When you're talking well lines, that's all good too. You have a water filtration system in there now? Of course you do.
I just have a filter inside the tank. Uh-huh. It's not a great big one yet, but I'm going to upgrade that. But I was thinking if I could put something in that tank to keep that, you know, before all my stuff gets clogged up.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying completely.
Just
and that water
what you're talking about with the hot water heater. It's the same idea. Same.
Because your tank, that doesn't have an anaerod in or anything like that. And you're going to get sediment in all the time. Yeah, exactly. And I would suggest you should be able to drain out some of that sediment, a way to do that. When you're talking about putting a product in there to
Yeah, something to kind of neutralize that. And you know what I heard recently was Ivory soap. You put a ball of Ivory soap in your swamp cooler, and it helps to keep your swamp cooler all corroded.
Yeah,
I tried it and it works.
Yeah, and if you had the proper filtration or water softener in the first place, you would not have that problem with your swamp cooler.
Yeah, with all your appliances, when the water comes in, if you could somehow cut that down.
That's why I promote water softeners so much.
You're talking about those pellets. I'm not sure what that's all about.
Yeah, there's outfits out there. Rabbit Plumbing down in Gardnerville. There's a Jackrabbit Plumbing down there. They actually use Well Work, Steve's Well, Water Wells. There's other companies that do work specifically.
There's one right down the road from here.
Yeah, go in and ask them.
Well Company. Okay, well, thank you very much. Have a good day.
Sure, Forrest. All right, man, I'll tell you what, I am getting such an education with you here. And you know what, Steve? Plumbing is one of the few things you really can't or should not do yourself.
That's absolutely true. Every day I learn more and more stuff about plumbing. And I've tried to kind of, like you were asking me why I deal with just water heaters, kind of specialize.
But you don't really. You do the
No, both. I don't really. All residential products and such. But every day I learn more and more about different products that were built, say, back in the 50s and the 60s, that I have to adjust now for our newer products and to make the systems work better, more efficiently. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing, constantly keeping up with the new products.
Am I being a cheapskate when I ask, can we turn down our water heaters during the heat of summer?
Well, kind of. But no.
Tell my wife that.
You still want a hot shower?
Do you want your dishes clean in the dishwasher?
Yeah, listen, we're at a point now where I don't want the shower to be that hot or the bathtub. I want to get out. I don't want to sweat.
Adjust the knob on the shower belt.
Weird.
Yeah, adjust it. When you're in the shower, you just put a little more cold on it. Yeah.
People, let me ask you this, too. Okay, well, first off, tell me about the home audit that you're offering. You go to houses and you give the whole system, the water, the pipes, everything, the whole look.
I call them consultations.
Consultation.
Yeah.
Tell us about your consultation.
I'll give you. I like to start from one end and go to the other. There's actually two plumbing systems in your house. There's the water line that comes in from your meter to your PRV or pressure reducing valve, and then it goes on to the water heater and throughout your fixtures. But then there's the waistline as well, where the water comes out of your house. And that very often is ignored, and you come across problems. Mm-hmm. So we start from one end, we go to the other. I charge about $125 to come in and just give a scan at it. And it takes very little time to find problems that have been ignored over the
years. Do you always find something?
Oh, yes. Almost always. I mean, because, like I said,
finding it early can save you a fortune, folks.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the whole point. I'm looking at homes right now that are just 20, 25 years old. You know, we've gone through spurts in Reno, growth spurts. So about 25 years ago, we went through a big construction boom in this town.
And they rushed a lot of construction.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's time to upgrade or to maintain. Maintenance is everything. Maintenance is everything.
People are forever being confused by this American water line company, I guess. I think that's its name, that repeatedly sends these some pretty alarming letters with Tumwa's logo on it. I can't believe Tumwa. They must have a deal with these people. It's a private company, and they kind of like scare you, saying that you are responsible for any leak in the pipe that goes from your house to the street, and it could cost $8,000.
Absolutely. Most people don't know much about what's going on with their plumbing, so that's why guys like me have to go in and really inform you, educate you on what's going on. Now, your homeowner's insurance may or may not cover that line going from your meter to the foundation of your house.
Right.
And that's what they're talking about. If something goes wrong with that,
You really are responsible.
Yes.
The water company. Nope. So I did call my insurance company, and yes, I am covered. So you folks, call your insurance company. If they don't have the coverage, you can add it. It's another $6 a month or something. I mean, I think it's worth it because I've heard stories of people who did pay $8,000 with a bad leak.
And let me be clear. It doesn't matter whether your home's 5 years old or 50 years old. This stuff happens. It goes along with maintenance and repair, keeping an eye on your home.
You just can't just turn it on and forget it.
That's correct. No, don't ignore your plumbing. I kind of make my living off of people ignoring their plumbing. But that's okay.
Folks, get your pens out. Steve, what is the number that folks can call and have you stop by and give an honest appraisal and save them a lot of money from problems becoming too big?
775-351-6047. 351-6047. And you don't have to call me at 4 a.m., but I will answer.
You will. Do emergencies,
too. It will wake me up, and I'll be a little cranky, but, you know.
I can't picture you cranky.
6 a.m. is cool, though. That's
I think it'd be a joy for
this
man to get to know you folks like he has been for me. And, look at you, already wearing the Kansas City Chiefs
get me in
your
trouble.
Neck. What? It's not even football season.
What do you mean it's not? It's always football season. It's always football season.
Oh, man. Big fan.
1 month to go. Yeah.
All right. Once again, Steve's number is 351.
6047.
6047. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Hey, thank you, John.
All right. Good guy. We're going to break for Fox News. I'm John Potter. Phone lines always open, 884-9910. Back in a few on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News. Talk. True.
Hello, friends. John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. What question am I asking for the phone calls right now? Today's question. Wouldn't it be ironic if Popeye's chicken was cooked in olive oil? Yeah. I mean, like, made for each other, you know. Oldsters get it. No, it's actually open topic, 884-9910, all local. It was kind of a sports-filled week this week, or 2 weeks, actually. The NBA Finals are over. The NHL best-of-seven series for the Stanley Cup is over. I always love whenever there's a best-of-seven series, because then I get to hear my favorite sports reporter question.
Would you consider this a must-win game?
And, you know, the players always feel like they have to say, yeah, we want to win. It's very important, you know. Got our uniforms on anyway. Might as well try. I wish just once they would answer that honestly.
The reporter, best of seven. You're down 1-0, would you consider this a must-win game?
No. We can lose tonight. we can lose tomorrow night, too. We don't want to, but that wasn't your question. You asked if it's a must-win game, and if you've ever taken a rudimentary math class, you already know the magic number is 3, okay? When you're down 3, then you must win, then you're out. Here's something worth knowing. We were talking about 4th of July, folks. Did you know that we have one of the few? There are 57 in all of the United States. We have here in our area one of the Liberty Bell replicas in the country. It's sitting right there outside the Nevada State Museum in downtown Carson City at 600 North Carson. It's right outside the front entrance of the museum, standing there on the right side. It's right in the front courtyard to the right of the front doors of the Nevada State Museum. A good friend of mine, Dave Perdue, emailed me about this with a picture, and I cannot believe how many times I have walked downtown Carson Street past the museum, into the museum, and did not even notice it. What is wrong with me? And when I say replica, it's truly a very, very close to the real thing. I think it's the same size as the original. It's 2,080 pounds. The Liberty Bell replicas were commissioned by the U.S. Department of the Treasury back in 1950. And there's one in every state. And also at the U.S. Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, France, Japan, and Washington, D.C., 57 in total. One of them has been missing for over 30 years, big mystery. The serial number of our Liberty Bell for Nevada is 5. You can see the number. It's stamped on the crown and the cannons on the shoulder directly above the P where it says proclaim. And it is a beauty. Can you ring it? No, except on July 4th, Independence Day, which is why Dave wants me to tell you about it now. If you're there on the 4th of July, the Battleborn chapter of the Sons of the American Revolution holds a celebration where the public is free. You are free to ring the bell. It's the only time of the year that you can ring our Liberty Bell, and it's a fitting day that it is to ring Nevada's Liberty Bell at the State Museum in Carson, 4th of July, Independence Day. And you're also invited to hear the reading of the Declaration of Independence and the Liberty Bell rung for each of the first 13 states. And then you and everybody else gathered there, you're invited to do all this this coming, Thursday, our Independence Day. How cool is that? I always get into some of the top local stories of the week. We have a lot of good stories, a lot of bad stories. This is a bad story. Well, it's ended up good, I guess, finally. It's the arrest after 6 or 7 months of the driver, Victor Caballero, charged with DUI after that horrendous wreck on West Plum at Hunter Lake Drive last year. Yes, it happened last year. An arrest this week after a suspected DUI crash that happened on the morning of December 13th. Now, ever since then, all we've had, the only thing I've seen, are all the appeals on GoFundMe to raise money for the passenger of the car this drunk driver was driving, with not one word about the man who was just going the other way, heading to go to work. Well, this week, Channel 4, Joe Hart sought out Robert Murray, who almost died in this, and I'm glad they did, because nobody else has said a thing about the innocent man in the other car. He was just, going to work that morning. Almost died in the wreck. The driver who the GoFundMe passenger, that GoFundMe passenger gave her keys to, is now out on bail, while Robert Murray's life has turned upside down in pain. And he told Channel 4, "My right leg had been crushed from ankle to hip due to being hit head-on with such force that the entire engine block was thrust into my lap through the dashboard. I also had a compound fracture in my left wrist and a broken sternum. I had hit my head so hard that my forehead split open, leaving a 4-inch gash that caused blood to pool into my left eye, blinding me until it healed enough to stop weeping. I required multiple blood transfusions with my blood pressure continuously bottoming out due to my internal bleeding. After the first day, it became apparent to doctors, due to the agonizing pain I was in, that parts of my intestines had died because of the trauma, and I required emergency surgery and a hopefully temporary colostomy bag. My family wondered, daughters, wife, family wondered if I was going to survive. The extent of the damage done to my brain and how it will affect my life is yet to be determined. Only time will tell. I spent 21 days in the hospital, had 5 surgeries, and have more to come. My entire life changed in a literal blink of an eye. That's the end of his quote there. And it's all because somebody decided to drive drunk, and somebody else made it possible for him to do that. And this phenomenon of drunk driving, you know, I don't know what the stats are, but it doesn't seem to be any less common. I've had the privilege of news reporting and radio hosting in Nevada for most of my life. And if I sit down and I think, I know of many milestones of heartbreak over the many years that you and I have been visiting on TV and radio that have been caused by drunk drivers. I mean, I can think of so many horrendous tragedies. The drunk who drove the van wrong way, Highway 50, and killed a big family, all the kids killed and everything. I think that was out in Patrick, going the wrong way on 80 years ago. I can't shake my mind at that. And here we sit with the lawmakers that we elect and the ability to change some circumstances, but we have nothing to fight drunk driving. We've done a lot to enrich lawyers off drunk driving. We've done a lot to enrich the state government off of drunk driving. They even legalized marijuana, putting more people out there driving high. But I'm not here to piss on the potheads. We still have this house on fire that is drunk driving, and maybe we should put some water on this. Maybe we should fight this fire, right? Somehow, some way, because we've truly done nothing, in my mind, to stop drunk driving. It frequently, there will be a DUI checkpoint where police departments get a grant from the state or something, but it's not often. Usually it's for seatbelts. Of course, the reality is we're way short of cops. Defunding kills, including the victims of drunk driving, right? But we ought to be up on their grill with this stuff, and not just the apprehension. If you get caught, that means you're going to have to pay a lot of money to your lawyer and the fine. Yeah, lawyers and government. But other than that, you're good. And that doesn't dissuade people. We need to have significant, serious prison terms for drunk driving. And that way, if you're a responsible person, if that doesn't scare the hell out of you, then take your medicine. On the other hand, there are some people who are addicts and alcoholics, and they're not going to be all that reasonable. So if nothing else, if they don't get scared straight or whatever, okay, lock them up for a long time and you won't be running down our families in the dark of night or early in the morning. You know, some people deflect on this subject. They blame the people who sell alcohol, for example. I had somebody this week write me and say, you ought to get on Walmart's case. They sell liquor around the clock at their 24-hour stores. Supermarkets do it too, you know. Yeah, Walmart sells this stuff. Walmart doesn't get in the car and drive drunk down the road. I've never seen Walmart drive a car or even sober. Have you? It's like the people who blame Walmart for locking products up on their shelves, but they don't blame the criminals who cause it. But we know what this problem is here. It's the drunk drivers. And if that problem is you, idiots who get behind the wheel after consuming too much alcohol, if the shoe fits, then wear it with your orange jumpsuit behind bars. You know, it's selfish, right?
Well, John, these people learn a very important lesson. They go to court. They're given this pamphlet. And one time I saw a judge point his finger and give a stern talking to, John.
Yeah. What we've done so far has not worked. Evidence being that just about every week or a couple of times a month, it seems, we have this heartbreaking ceremony going on in the Reno area. So easy to say nice words about this. Oh my gosh, isn't this terrible? Sending prayers, but it doesn't do any good. And if you're running this year to be in the legislature, or you're already in the legislature, all these people with power, you've been elected. It's not a Republican or Democrat thing, drunk driving, because we all love our kids. We all want safe roads and highways, and we all would be benefited by real prison terms, you know? Democrats feel maybe some people are oppressed minorities. That's not drunk drivers. We all ought to be united against them. And if you're a lawmaker, do something real to stop drunk drivers. We would all flock to support you. And back to this horrible wreck on West Plum, after we all waited 6 months for an arrest in this thing, the driver spends, what, a day or two in jail, free on bond, you know? Neither he nor his passenger have made a public apology that I know of to Robert Murray, which is incredible to me. And no news channel gave us any information on this until Joe Hart at Channel 4 began asking questions and finally got Robert to speak his truth. Anyway, I'm gone too far on this. I'll shut up now. Going to take a break. 884-9910 is the number. I'm John Potter on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 1051.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio. The original social media.
John Potter, live and local, 5 minutes before 11 o'clock. Derek Lee, Brain Health Formulas, is coming up in just a few minutes to take your calls about, brain health, which encompasses your whole body, because, as you know, the brain is in control. I don't usually do the this day in history or this week in history that a lot of DJs do. I never really have. I always thought it was kind of corny until I got to the age that I am. Now it's really cool. You know, now and then a historic date comes along and it hits me and it reminds me of something I loved and something that led to a very funny story that I like to tell about my family. So did you know what Tuesday was this week? It was Global Beatles Day, and this is why. June 25th, 1967, the Beatles did a BBC TV show where they performed All You Need Is Love, and their debut performance on this Tuesday, 57 years ago, oh my gosh, 57 years, that day was the week, it was the first multi-international satellite TV production ever in history. Back then, that was a very big deal. How many people were watching? 400 million people on 5 continents around the world. And John Lennon wrote All You Need Is Love just for the TV show. And you know, it's a very simple song. The lyrics mainly just repeat, All you need is love. Everybody now, all you need is love. Love is all you need. And John purposely wanted it to be simple. It's a simple song so that all people around the world would get it and understand it. And he kept the chords simple so that people who did not even know English would get the message. Well, as a kid, I loved music. I still do. But back then, I used to write down the lyrics to every Beatles song. I'd put the record on. I'd play it. I'd take the needle off and scribble the words and put the needle back on like every song the Beatles did. I was obsessed. And my grandmother ended up having Alzheimer's. And she began to collect anything that we touched growing up. And towards the end of her life, when I was an adult, she called me into her bedroom. And Grandma pulled out this box and took out this paper, and she said, you wrote this for me when you were very little, and it was the lyrics to When I'm 64, and I had to sit there and take credit for a Lennon and McCartney classic. I was like, oh yes, Grandma, that's right, I forgot about that. You like that, huh? Because if so, I have a huge catalog of other songs that I think you can like. So as I said, I'm I'm 70 years old, so I get great pleasure out of reading today's date in history, the Beatles' first transatlantic performance of All You Need Is Love, and a song that, as repetitious as it is, still has the ultimate message. Back for another hour. I'm John Potter on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. On a break for Fox News, FM News Talk time, 10:58.